You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
KXNO.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by Nick Mick. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Tuesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller talking sports with you for the next couple of hours. Thank you for spending some of your morning here with us. BMW, Des Moines guest list, the bottom of the hour. We're going to get into baseball over the next couple of days. We are going to discuss, the regional teams. Teams in our area, and up first will be the St. Louis Cardinals. Bottom of the hour, Brian Walton, thecardinalnation.com, thecardinalnation.com on the Cardinals, who look as though they are the, at least in these, my eyes, the main threat to the Milwaukee Brewers as they seek to repeat in the Central Division. So Brian Walton at the bottom of the hour. At 11:15, Matt Postens covers the Big 12 for Heartland College Sports. We will opine a little bit more on the national championship game from last night as Kansas wins, as we know. We'll get to that in a moment. But Matt Postens will be here. We'll do some Big 12 conversation with Postens. And then Ryan Fagan on Major League Baseball. We'll go around the world of MLB 48 hours or thereabouts out from opening day. What a day Thursday promises to be. It's going to be a drag until we get to that point. But nonetheless, here we are. And sadly, the nets have been cut down and the curtain has fallen down.
I'd like to be the second person to congratulate the Kansas City Jayhawks for their national championship.
I mean, how do you make that mistake?
He is an idiot.
Yes, he is. And I feel bad for the registers, Mark Emmert, who took all the arrows.
Of course he did.
Because that is his name and that he does have that Twitter handle.
Uh-huh.
Trent, just really a tale of two halves, right? It really and truly was. Kansas was just atrocious early in the basketball game. Awful. Fall down 16-15 at the half. What was Brown 1-for-7? Wilson was like 1-for-6. Remy Martin was 1-for-5. Jalen Wilson missed 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right under the basket, bunnies, layups.
Kansas was 4-of-14 on layups and dunks in the first half. 4-of-14.
Holy mackerel.
They couldn't get to the rim. They couldn't get any offense going. And after jumping out 7-0.
Right.
And did you see our friends at BetRivers?
4-for-6.
Somebody bet on the money line, Kansas, $90,000.
Saw that.
$90,000 and down 15. You said, there goes $90,000. Yeah. Alas, the Jayhawks had different ideas.
No, they really did. And Charles Barkley nailed it. He said, quit trying to throw it down to McCormick and speed the game up. And that's exactly what they did. And that that lead was very quickly gone. Was it a collapse or was it a comeback?
I give it more of a comeback. That was Kansas making plays.
Although, on the other hand, Trent, and I agree with you, but you could certainly listen to the argument that North Carolina, at least in the beginning of that, they settled for more long jump shots.
They absolutely
more
did.
Threes. Instead of being aggressive and doing what got them that lead in the first place, it's kind of like, to try and get in their heads a little bit. You're up 15 with 20 minutes to go.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going what did there. And it was them playing fast, and they allowed Kansas to play fast. Now, I was shocked after the game, looking through the box score. Do you know how many fast break points Kansas had in the game?
No.
10. It felt like they had 20 in that range.
I was going to say, and they got them all in the first few minutes of the second half.
From the 19-minute mark to the under 12, it felt like they got certainly all of them, right? They had to be all.
Yeah, Brown was unbelievable in that portion of the game.
Had that first Euro step, kind of that extra hop to getting through there. A couple other times, he just took it to the 10, and their ability to get out, get the game going fast again. And this goes to Bill Self. Bill Self, you ask anybody that really knows the college game, and they talk about, Not the guy that recruits the best, not the guy that has the best bagmen, the guy that actually knows the game.
That's coming to a head.
And that's another one Bill Self's really good at, but we'll wait on that. But they will say to a T, Bill Self's always in the conversation. He is always considered X's and O's wise, one of the best guys that you're going to find in the game. And I think that's another example of that, pushing the button. Last three games, they score 41 points or more in the second half of games. That's coaching. This is not his most talented team.
Nope.
It's probably not even his top dozen in terms of raw talent.
You know, when he's asked that question, he agrees that it's not. He says it's the closest. I don't know if I've heard him describe, no, this is number four, or X, Y, and Z teams were better. And yet, you know, I mean, you're never going to hear that from him. But, look, he did a hell of a job, Trent. He did a hell of a job. And that final 20 minutes last night, apparently he didn't go crazy in the locker room at halftime.
He brought up the 2008 national championship
game.
Yes,
how about that?
Where would you rather be? Down 15 with 20 to go, or down 9 with 2 to go? And that kind of got him going. And apparently McCormick, he said, we're going to win this. And he was very confident.
He was not down one. And in fact, his teammates, everyone that I heard, you know, like Jason Hayward's speech after the they all brought that up. This was kind of similar, that it was all McCormick. And his attitude at halftime is, you know, it's not woe is me. Let's go out and we can win this game. It's okay. He's got a smile on his face. And look, he was proven right. He was proven right in the end.
McCormick, after the game, hearing him, hearing...
How is he not the MVP? Or the MOP, most outstanding player? You know, when I've seen people that we follow on Twitter, and I know you follow most of the same basketball guys I do, to a man, that have a vote in this thing, that were in the building last night, they have no idea how Agbaji was handled the award, because they can't find anybody who voted for him.
Was there some chicanery with David McCormick's recruiting? I don't remember. I'm just asking.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I mean, he was a McDonald's All-American, right?
Yeah, so probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
But he's not the first or the last.
And Agbaji was like the 212th ranked kid in his class.
Right.
He was not getting a bag.
No. Well, maybe got a bag, but nowhere near the bag.
Could it be as simple as that?
You wonder.
I mean, get the tinfoil hat out. Like
Matt
we like
Norlander,
to do.
Mike Devaney, these guys have been following the sport for a long time. DeCourcy, rather. They can't find anybody. They're pretty well connected.
Yeah.
They talk on press row, and no one can... well, I didn't vote for him, did you? No, I voted for McCormick. But I voted for Brown. I put McCormick, too. But anyways, look, at the celebration is in Lawrence and in Kansas City, I guess, if they want to participate.
Of course.
They were brought into the equation last night, but really a remarkable
and great thing
tournament
for the people of Missouri on the other side of the river, because they're never won a national championship in Mizzou, right? So they got something at
there
least last
go.
Night.
Yep.
Kansas City, oh, Mark Emmert, just a foot in the mouth. But it's not just about the game lingering as we approach the 1,000-day mark of the sanctions that were handed down. These were five level one violations that were handed down to this program.
These guys serving jail time as we speak.
Merle Code is in prison.
Yes.
In prison
right.
because of this. And not only that, and this is what upsets me about Kansas, is the way that they did these guys dirty. To go back and then say that we were the victims.
Right.
And go out.
They played that card very, very quickly after that.
Absolutely. Then on top of it, to double down and have that midnight madness with Snoop Dogg and the stripper poles and money floating down and everything else. That is what, to me, taints this more than anything, is they cheated. Bill Self was right in the middle of this. He said, I need to get some real guys. He texted that. The NCAA has had this for over 900 days. They should not have been eligible to play in this tournament. If we're playing by the rules, they should not be playing in this tournament, and they're national champions.
And Trent, I mean, I know I keep hearing that the hammer's going to fall. I'll buy it when I see it.
Oklahoma State.
It did there. Maybe they didn't have as good of lawyers as Kansas has got, because you can bet your bottom dollar. There's a lot of dollars being spent on the best legal representative, and you're absolutely entitled to it. Go for it. We'll see how it turns out. But I know how last night turned out. It was a remarkable comeback, down 16, 15 at the half. And as you said, by the time they got to the second media timeout, that lead was, I mean, all the momentum was in Kansas' favor.
Walking wounded by the end. We knew from the beginning.
I felt bad for him.
I mean, he didn't even jump on the jump ball.
No.
He knew.
Nope.
And he gutted it out, and that dude is tough.
Yep.
And you want that guy on your team. He is going to make it good, and you got to figure, like, he probably doesn't have an NBA future. People say he just probably doesn't work in the game. Maybe he's a second-round pick, but more than likely, a guy like that coming back in the NIL era, he's going to get paid, right?
I would like to think he does. He deserves it. But I mean, look what he did for that team last night, Trent.
And if he doesn't go down with the broken floor.
Hey, and how, this is what I was going to say. What is up with that? Have you seen, I'm sure it's happened.
Right.
But the way the floor buckled under his right ankle.
I've seen that happen before, though. I've seen that happen many times. I've seen it, you know, you go to an AAU tournament, and there's eight courts there, and they're all put together very quickly, and, mm-hmm. and you see those kind of things. You'll see.
Oh, this was the national championship.
It was, but it's the same floor. I mean, it's ultimately the same thing, right? These are all, this is not a solid floor that is down.
No,
in fact, there's no arenas.
It's probably down. It's probably coming up as we speak.
We're not talking about a high school arena uh-huh. that the floor is there all the
right.
time.
Right.
Every one of these yeah. are picked up and moved in because of that. These kind of things happen. So I've seen it before, but in that spot with the bad wheel, mm-hmm. Baycock said after the game he thought he was getting to the rim. He felt confident he was going to.
He was turning the corner.
He was going to get to the rim, and he was going to get the bucket, and how different that one plays out at that
point.
Hey,
how about the fact that after it happened, Kansas, a little sportsmanship. I mean, we're ripping them. Do we have to credit him here? Because they did not attack. They did not attack the rim because he's on the ground,
and somebody
was there under the floor.
Was it Abashi that was upset about it? Like, what are we doing? There was one play.
Or was it Remy Martin?
It might have been. It was somebody, though.
Yes, absolutely. I know what you're saying. Like, come on.
Right. What are we doing?
They just eased up. They just mm-hmm. quit playing and let the officials come to the aid of the fallen player by blowing the whistle and letting the trainers get on the floor. But that was a little sportsmanship,
absolutely.
Or was it just a brain cramp?
Well, regardless, what they did, they went to McCormick right away.
Yeah,
and Manic,
absolutely.
Defensively, we talked about Manic a lot. Defensively,
well,
no
he
match.
Had a rough night as far as he was kind of like Luca Garza early in his career, getting hit in the face, and in the chops, and in the nose.
And they were trying to get Manic that last shot.
Yeah.
And then he, and it was really in the same area. Is that that same board? Did the same board get him?
Oh. Okay. Never thought of that, but kind of was in the same area.
Right.
And the shot wasn't even close.
No.
How about if you've
I thought it was short, and then they showed the side view.
Yeah,
like,
it was
left by a foot and a half.
He missed completely. Yeah. And that you can't criticize. I mean, look what he did the game before.
Yeah. They're not there without him.
No, of course they're not.
5-24 is going to linger, though, for Caleb Love.
Yeah. Well, the defense on him, they did a number
and he was
on
hurt
him
too.
Last night.
So he's banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy Puff Johnson.
It was great.
He
puking on the floor.
Puking on the floor after he got hit in the gut. Wonder what, I mean, just never see anything like that
no,
in basketball.
No, you really don't.
Don't you have that?
I'm kind of glad we don't.
Right. Yeah. It's not something you want to make. So you had Love with the, was it an ankle?
But he was clearly in pain.
There was that one time
I wouldn't
down,
come off the floor.
Right, he's hopping around out there, and then next defensive series, he looks terrible, and then all of a sudden he gets the ball and he's fine.
Yeah.
That was odd.
So speaking of that, and first 20 minutes, Baycott was way more active, right?
Yep.
Then you have the halftime, and you go in. And I don't know, did they keep him on a bike? Did they keep him moving around? The last thing I would think is he would want to, that thing tightens up a little bit if it's not getting used. I wonder if halftime was a detriment to his second half performance.
Probably. And I don't know how much longer it is opposed to the 15 minutes they normally get.
I think it was 20.
It was 20. So it's not Super Bowl ridiculous, but
no.
It's a little more time there and a little more time to get tight. But you're right. He was not the same guy that we saw in the first half. And probably more than likely anything that he probably got a shot, right? Got something in
something,
the ankle before
sure.
the game. And that starts to wear off after a while. And you can't do multiple ones of those. So got to figure that was a piece of it, too. He is such a man. He's so good, though. I really grew to like, basketball-wise, every one of these teams in the Final Four. And we talked about the blue blood angle and how cool it was to have, you know, these four major programs playing in a Final Four. But watching North Carolina, just their ability and what they did, seemingly completely turning around their season after that loss to Pitt and what they became and how much fun they were to watch as a team. Same thing with Kansas. This Kansas team was fun to watch, and Bill Self talked about the togetherness, but the way they run that secondary break. I always love Kansas in the secondary break and going back to the Roy days. Duke. Yeah, it's Duke. I don't like Duke, but I liked watching that basketball team play and the way they were so clutch.
I like Bancaro. I really like watching him.
Same thing. Against Michigan State, against Texas Tech, those comebacks, I'll remember those games for a really long time. And Villanova, just the fundamentally sound, you know, the gritty, gutty kind of guys out there. They were four very enjoyable basketball teams, and that, another reason I think made this Final Four so special.
No, and it was. It was a great watch. Jalen Coleman-Lyons, you get a ring. Joseph Yesufu.
Yeah.
You get a ring. Two guys that were in our state, now national championships. Coleman Land's got to be done now, right? I mean, this is he's out of eligibility, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he's had a long career, but he caps it as a national championship, and he did see the floor late in that basketball game last night. Well, I if you bet Kansas on the I guess the point spread.
Yeah.
And you're given four, you're given 4.5. Aren't you thinking, you know what? I'm gonna cash this ticket.
I had my hand raised.
And Harris steps out of bounds.
And it was so weird because you saw it.
He's for sure gonna get fouled, and he's an 80% free throw shooter. He's making one, if not two.
If it's a normal floor, if it's not the extended Final Four National Championship floor, that probably doesn't happen. But you think all that extra room over there, he probably thought he wasn't
maybe
as close. It was just so odd because you rarely see something like that.
Open the door.
Absolutely. And then Bill Self didn't foul.
No, what about that?
Three. I didn't like it.
Yeah, foul defended. He let him go. And I mean, as it turned out, it worked out. But
well, he's got two national championships.
I know,
zero.
But you know what? I'd have done the same thing. And I think, Trent, if you would poll our audience, I don't know if it would be 4 out of 5, but I think it would be pretty close to that. Would have fouled him in
with
that 4. Spot.
4.3 seconds.
That's just it.
And that first inbound is a perfect time to do it. I mean, the dude's 35 feet away.
Precisely.
Makes that first move, grab him, and boom, put him at the free throw line. And best case scenario for them, make the first, try to tip in the second. Mm-hmm. That's what they would have to do to tie the game. Miss it on purpose instead. Well, awful shot by Love.
Yeah, just wasn't close. But again, look what he did the game before against Duke. He was so instrumental in that basketball game.
Well, you know what time it is as we put the season over.
No.
Now it's time to look forward.
No, the way too early's.
Preseason number one for next season. This is from John Rothstein.
Okay, the preseason number one. SEC?
Yes.
They don't live in Lexington?
They do.
They do. It's they Kentucky? Do.
Kentucky.
I was
going to
say Arkansas.
One. So that is with Toshibe coming back, which we'll see.
Yeah.
Save Wheeler, who has another year of eligibility. Keon Brooks also coming back. He's going to go to the NBA and go through the process, but we'll see.
Where's Arkansas? I thought they'd be number one.
Arkansas in this list is number 5, is the Razorbacks.
Baylor ahead of them?
Baylor's not there. So your top 5 are number 1, as mentioned, Kentucky. UCLA at number 2.
Okay,
that is with Tiger Campbell, Johnny Juzang, Jaime Jaquez.
Mm-hmm.
Think about those guys coming back for another
same cast, essentially.
Yeah. You bring that crew back. Number 3,
Gonzaga's Carolina. Not in there. Please tell me the Zags aren't in there.
How about Houston at number 4?
Okay, so they're not in the top 5. Good.
Remember, they'll get Marcus Sasser back, who was their best player.
Yeah, until he
they went
hurt.
To the lead 8.
Yep. Yep.
He lost another player. At number 6, though, is Gonzaga.
Yep.
Behind Arkansas at 5. Baylor at 7. Nova 8. Duke at 9. Creighton at number 10.
Huh.
And this is a top, not 25, top 45 with the 45 bids that are out there. Number 42, the Iowa Hawkeyes. Number 44, the Iowa State Cyclones.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Oh, there's a chance.
Both teams will be dancing next year.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit too early.
Yes. Rosters, well, we still got over 1,000 kids in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
and,
a few and things
adding,
to figure out.
Yeah, yes. And growing each and every day. Fun game last night. Fun game. Nance was terrific. The broadcast was really good. You know what? I was never a big Clark Kellogg fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's good in that spot.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what? Jet and Charles need him.
Mm-hmm.
I think the broadcast needs an air quote college guy.
Add some credibility.
Yes, it does.
When they first did that, when it was just Charles and when it was just Kenny the Jet, it wasn't very good.
Right.
They didn't know what was going on college-wise.
I mean, they know the game, obviously, but they don't follow college basketball like you need to, I think, to sit in that chair. But having the credibility that Clark Kellogg brings the floor, I wish he'd go on record every now and then.
Sure.
Because every single year they get through the Final Four, well, Clark, who do you like Monday? It's every single year.
Yeah.
You know, put it out there. If you're wrong, you're wrong.
You're not going to lose your job.
Precisely. And you have the right to change your mind when you come back on Monday night.
Yeah.
So that's my only knock against it. But he knows the game, and he's a he's credibility to that show. Ernie's great. The other two are staples in basketball, halftime or pregame entertainment. But Clark Kellogg has a big role.
So it's a lot better than the Billy Packer days. That's
yeah,
sure.
It is.
Everybody
it
hated
is.
Billy
yep.
Packer, and it's a big, big step up from what we saw. You know, I was thinking back, and somebody had mentioned with the Duke, everything going on with this Final Four, and going back to the memories that I had at Duke UNLV. And I was thinking last night, UNLV, during that time, I remember every broadcast, and it was starting with Musburger and then into Nance as UNLV was playing, winning a national championship, then losing to Duke the next year. They talked about Tarkanian and the sanctions and all the trouble that UNLV, they talked about that all the time during the broadcast.
I don't remember that.
Was it mentioned once? I thought Nance maybe had something kind of in passing, but
not that I can remember. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it didn't jump out.
Is that an edict from the NCAA? Mm. Is that Jim Nance just kind of being Jim Nance?
Maybe he's got his master's hat on because he's got to be.
Oh, well, he's got to give his tie away too.
Right. Yeah.
Shouldn't that be a violation?
I think it should be.
What a nerd.
He is kind of.
He's just a geek.
Him in the Butler cabin just.
Yeah, perfect for him.
It's perfect for him. But yes. Good God.
He's
laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, so no doubt.
If you got to play that role, you do that. Do what you got to do.
He's got his own hole out of his backyard.
Pebble Beach.
On Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's done pretty well for himself.
No, he does. That's where Brady and Peyton Manning went over to his house and shot the 30 for 30. Right. Or whatever that. Or the Peyton. What's Peyton's show? Whatever Peyton Manning's football.
Peyton's Places,
yeah. Him and Brady in Nance's backyard playing golf and chipping balls off the roof and onto the green. And, he's done very well for himself. Look, he's good. I get it.
He's not my favorite.
He's not
certainly
my
basketball.
Favorite either.
Not football.
Nope.
Golf, yes.
Yeah, golf's okay, except till he gets to the Butler cabin. And then it's so corny.
Yes,
just
it is.
Just corny.
That's Jim Nance.
I know.
And he gives away a tie. Can you imagine last night, Abaji? M.O.P. Oh, now I got this nerd coming over and handing me a necktie. Right. Just what I mean. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, I know. He wasn't the most outstanding player. McCormick was.
Yes, he was.
I think.
And he made the bucket that proved to be the difference.
Oh, was that huge. The putback one you're talking about?
No, the little jump.
Yeah, the jump hook late. That was his last basket, right? Yeah, it was.
As he backed down Manic.
Yep.
And got it done. Graduated in 3 years. Did you hear them talk about that? Yeah, they talked about that in a sports information guy. So, I wonder if he's got, or sports communications. He got a career whenever basketball ends for him.
Huh.
He'd be a fun guy to listen to.
Yeah.
Really liked him.
Yep. He did. What pregame show did you watch? Did you watch any of putting the kids to bed?
Putting the kids to bed, yeah. Didn't see anything.
I watched ESPN's.
Okay.
Just because.
You love Billis.
I do. And you know what else? It's the announcer, the College Game Day voice. Now back to, I'm not even close.
Yeah.
But if you watch college football, and it kind of reminded me of that, and it was pretty good. They were in a suite up at not on the floor. Mm-hmm. That's where the TBS guys were.
Speaking of on the floor, did you see our buddy Rob Doster after the game last night? As the confetti was still there.
No, I didn't.
His co-host on Field of 68, John Fantas, big dude.
Yeah,
hefty.
Yeah, he is. He looks really young too, John Fantas.
I think he might be in late 20s, early 30s, something like that.
He's got, because he does a lot of play-by-play.
Yes, and Northeast guy, I think that's maybe how him and Doster crossed paths, but they ran killers, wind sprints, where he run down to the free throw line, touch it, come back to the baseline.
Did Doster puke?
Doster was fine. He coasted. Fanta was struggling. Struggling so much that he got a bloody nose as he was running.
So where did you see this?
On Field of 68.
I was cooked.
Yeah, I know you were down. I was still up at 144, I think I sent my last tweet out last night about the Iowa and Iowa State being in the top 45 veracity. But give that one a click. It's funny seeing the big guy huffing and puffing, and all of a sudden he's got a bloody nose as he makes his way back after the last leg of his wind sprint.
So Doster evidently sobered up after our conversation.
Well, he wasn't looking fast. You could see it was still hitting him.
Oh, man, was he hung over yesterday when he joined us, right?
New Orleans.
Whew. Great, great city. No doubt about it. Perfect city for all championships. And I'll hear no other word. Nothing else. It is perfect. Everybody's on Bourbon Street. You're not spread out all over the place. If you want to know where everybody's at, that's where they will be.
So it's Masters Week now. All of a sudden, we turn the page to the Masters.
Have you made
Masters.
Any bets yet?
I just made one. Right as you and I were talking and we're going through, DraftKings has like a billion.
They really do.
Different props that you can do. And I found one that really tickled my fancy. And it was... You get three guys to win the golf tournament.
And either one of them, just one of them has to win.
Any of the three. So, again, there's so many different pages here at DraftKings, the different props that you can do. You got to kind of fight through and find all the different, all right, click on this. I think it was through tournament specials, and then it's two-way or three-way is what you get. So I got these three guys to win the tournament. They're all young guns. At plus 650, I get Morikawa, who I was going to bet I already, that's one of the guys already circled on the list. Shoffley, as you know, is always on my list.
Seemingly, yeah.
And I also get Cantlay. And speaking of nerds, he's a huge nerd too, but he's a good golfer. I get those three guys at plus 650.
What are the other, is there any other groups?
There were, yeah. Let me see if I can pull some of these up, some of the other groups. DJ was in one of them. That makes a lot of sense. He's with a couple of the other favorites. In fact, I think that was maybe one of the one with the lowest odds, if you will. Scrolling through here, top finishes, double triple chance. That's what it is. Rahm, Rory, and Victor Hovland.
That's a short price.
Plus 340. Next group, Scottie Scheffler, DJ, and Spieth, plus 450.
Okay.
JT.
Yeah.
Kepka.
Yeah.
DeChambeau, plus 550.
That's the one I want.
That's the one you want.
Yep.
And then the fourth one is one that I took with Morikawa, Scheffler, and Cantlay. There's a few others listed there that you go a little bit deeper, get some bigger odds, and you want to go with the debutante, Sam Burns, Oosthuizen, who's always around, and Ty Hatton, 16 to 1. So just a different way to bet it, but that's what makes this tournament so much fun, too.
And betting on golf, I wasn't sure I would get into it, and I'm not on a weekly basis, thankfully. But
I got club last week.
Right? Where'd you got Luke List?
Luke List, yeah. He finished out 57.
Because, I mean, on Friday, he was in the hunt.
He was great. He was 6-under, and then the wheels fell off.
Did they?
Yeah.
And he's in the Masters.
Yes, yeah.
And it's got to be a huge price.
Oh, yeah. I saw at Circa, Zach Johnson was 750 to 1.
Really?
750 to 1. I think that's worth $5.
No, it's not. Yeah, just give me the $5.
Right, right.
We will take a time out. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the regional teams, baseball teams. We're going to start today with the Cardinals. Cappy obviously will cover the Cubs and the White Sox when he joins us tomorrow. I watched his debut, the debut of his show last night, Unfiltered.
Oh, really?
On 665. It was a new TV show. It was a half-hour daily week or every weekday show.
Mm-hmm.
He had... Tom Izzo.
Okay. Good connection there, right?
No, he's got a it's a really good connection. Who else did he have on the show? It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Anyways, Cappy will join us tomorrow as we catch up with the Cap Man on the Cubs and the White Sox. We'll take our time out.
Cardinals next.
Cardinal conversation with our buddy Brian Walton, CardinalNation.com. Trent, I can't find anybody that's going to push the Brewers.
I feel like I'm that way, too. I like this Cardinals team.
Oh, Billy Donovan was his other guest.
Campus. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good basketball
stuff.
Yeah,
I'll say.
As spring training was starting here just 3 weeks ago, I kind of like the Cardinal team. And the more that I dug into it, a lot of age. I think four of their regulars over 31. Look at the staff. It doesn't exactly inspire confidence. I like the bullpen a lot. But I think the Brewers, again, with health in that staff,
their backup catcher, by the way, for the Brewers was just handed an 80-game suspension.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Saw some free agents also got dinged.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday, too. But this kid's going to they were counting on him to, you know, carry some of the load.
I would be shocked if the Brewers don't win 88-plus games.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know who's going to push them. I really don't.
Cardinals, everything comes together, 84, 85, kind of in that range. And the Cubs, the Pirates, the Reds. They're all kind of cross-offs at this point.
Brian Walton on those Cardinals. Next, Miller and Condon underway on a Tuesday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Our baseball life.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, Brian Walton in a moment, just real quick. Tiger has met with the media at Augusta. He was just asked this question. Do you think you can win the Masters this week? His reply, I do. They moved on.
That's enough for you.
He's playing, baby. I don't think he's winning, but he's playing. Let's get Brian Walton. They're going to play 162. Brian Walton won't join us that many times, but he'll join us a bunch over the summer. We're grateful for the relationship, and he's back with us. Brian, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, Brian Walton?
Hey, it's almost opening day, so it's an exciting time for all baseball fans.
Indeed it is. I wasn't sure we were going to see it. Well, I thought we were going to see it, but just wasn't sure it was going to happen in early April, as we're grateful that it does. Brian, let's start with the manager, Oliver Marmol. I was struck by Mike Schilt's comments from, I think, a week ago or sometime in the last couple of weeks. He's just gutted, or at least he was just gutted when he was let go. But Oliver Marmol, what can you tell us about him? It's his first go-around as a manager in the bigs. He's been on the coaching staff. Why him, Brian Walton?
Well, he was a trusted lieutenant to Mike Schilt. And like Mike Schilt, Oliver Marmol was groomed within the organization, had various responsibilities, managing, running spring training camps, base coach, then a bench coach. Very young, 35 years old, one of the youngest managers in baseball. And Oliver Marmol never played in the majors like Mike Schilt. So he comes with an analytic background, which is very much in sync with the Cardinals front office, but still, as a former player, has credibility with the players, and it'll be interesting to see. All the other coaches were kept on the staff, including veteran pitching coach Mike Maddox. So Marmol has a very, very experienced support staff around him.
Youngest manager in the game. He's the youngest since Eric Wedge got the job in Cleveland back almost 20 years ago in 2003. That youth is something that is becoming, really doesn't matter the sport. We see more and more of this. Important to the Cardinals as an organization? Is it something that they were looking at somebody that could connect better to the younger generation?
I think so. And, you know, you go back to the Tony La Russa years, and let's face it, Tony La Russa, obviously already a Hall of Fame manager, decided to come back and manage. But, you know, the old-time managers had their ways of doing things, and they were strong personalities, and they had years of experience to back them up. But in today's world, with all the investments in understanding data, whether it be on pitch velocities and spin rates, or for hitters' launch angles and all the other new measurements, their organizations are more comfortable when they have guys who are willing to really meld those approaches together and not just manage by their gut.
Brian Walton is our guest. Well, they're young in the managerial department, but they got some veterans on this team, and they got older last week by signing Pujols, he's going to the Hall of Fame as soon as he's eligible, and I still believe Yadi likewise, and then Adam Wainwright. So these three guys, long in the tooth, what do they have left, do you think, Brian?
Well, we've seen Adam Wainwright continue to defy logic. In the middle part of his career had a lot of injuries, and that's probably kept him from becoming a Hall of Famer himself. But, you know, he'll certainly be a Cardinals Hall of Famer, and he is, with the injury to Jack Flaherty, he's out indefinitely. Adam Wainwright is going to be expected to lead this rotation, which is a little short on experience compared to where the Cardinals were in recent years. Yadier Molina is Yadier Molina, and he's finally starting. He's willing to say that, hey, I don't have to play every day, that Andrew Kisner, his understudy, can play a little more, and maybe that will keep Molina fresher offensively. Defensively, he's still, you know, one of the best in the game. Albert Pujols, I think we saw a great contrast in how Albert Pujols was used last season. With the Angels, he was an everyday player, every day's a designated hitter, struggled against right-handed pitching. But when he moved to the Los Angeles Dodgers, they realized, hey, Albert is still a force against left-handed pitching. Let's put him in situations where he can succeed. And the trick for the Cardinals will be to try to balance the nostalgia and the, let's face it, the ticket selling value of Albert Pujols with the fact that he needs to be used where he can be most effective.
This team is going to push the Brewers in the division. Certainly some of the young arms got to come together, but health a concern right now. Alex Reyes, who we always talk about, it feels like the health with him. And then Jack Flaherty, who is coming off the shoulder issues that he had at the end of last season, just began a throwing program, probably going to be a month or so before we see them. Those young arms certainly are important for this team. How are they going to fill in the gaps until both guys are ready to go?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. The health of the pitching staff is probably the biggest X factor for this team, because the guys behind Wainwright are veterans Miles Michaelis and Dakota Hudson, and both those guys spent significant time on the injured list last year as well. And so, you know, they're going to need those guys behind Wainwright to be healthy. But let's face it, without Jack Flaherty, there aren't guys who are going to pitch 8 or 9 innings every day out. So this is going to put more pressure on the Cardinals' bullpen, which we saw was exceptional in the first half of last year. But Mike Schilt tended to overuse the same three guys, and by the end of the season, they were tapped out. And the Cardinals focus their limited resources that they chose to spend this offseason in trying to add some veterans to the back end of the bullpen.
And Steven Matz comes over as well, and he was really good. I mean, I get Robbie Ray was the ace of that staff, but I thought Matz maybe not saved his career, but showed there's something left there. What is left as he gets back into the National League?
Well, the Cardinals needed a left-hander in the rotation with Kim, the Korean, having left the roster and returned to his home country. And Steven Matz was a very successful pitcher with the Mets. He was a guy that was a very highly ranked prospect and sort of fell short of those lofty expectations. But I think with the Cardinals' Gold Glove defense behind him, all of whom are back from last year, I think Steven Matz will be able to take advantage of the large ballpark in Busch Stadium and that strong defense behind him. And I think, you know, he could be a surprise this season, a pleasant surprise.
DH now in the National League full-time. Of course, Albert Pujols anticipate he's going to get some of those DH. But how is Marwal going to use the DH? Is it going to be a lot of Goldschmidt and Arenado and Molina giving them extra days off using the DH? Or is it going to be Pujols for, say, 5 out of every 8 games? He's going to be the guy that they trot out there.
Well, I can't speak for sure, Trent, what's going to happen. But I will tell you that I hope that he will, again, use Pujols like more like he was used in Los Angeles, because there are a number of young players who are trying to find at-bats. Lars Nootbaar, the outfielder who came up last year, did very well. Edmundo Sosa, a middle infielder who played actually took over the job in the second half when Paul DeJong slumped. So there are guys on the – and then Corey Dickerson, they brought in a veteran outfielder to be sort of their fourth guy. Mm-hmm. So they can – I think maybe do a better job than they did in the past of giving Goldschmidt and Arenado a day or two off from playing in the field and maybe have them fresher in the second half as well, because there's no doubt between Goldschmidt and Arenado, as well as emerging power threat Tyler O'Neill, those middle of the lineup guys are crucial for the Cardinals offense to score runs this year.
What worries you about the everyday players? Is there a position that, you know, you mentioned there's a lot of gold glovers all scattered all over the infield. What worries you?
Paul DeJong. I think we all saw when he came up as a rookie, you know, and he hit all those home runs and was really a solid, one of the top shortstops offensively in the game. And then each of the 2 years following, his performance dropped off and dropped off. A very intelligent guy, but maybe a little bit like Matt Carpenter, the former third baseman. He maybe thinks too much and doesn't focus as well on what he needs to do as an offensive player. Now, DeJong had a very good spring that was very encouraging. But, you know, I think that he's really the guy who's probably the least proven on the offensive side of the team.
Who's the leadoff guy? I know they tried it out yesterday, probably what's going to be their real lineup come Thursday's games. Is it Dylan Carlson?
Yeah, it sure looks like it. Mm-hmm. And Dylan Carlson, of course, a switch hitter, very, very good all-around player. Maybe he doesn't have the top tools at any area, but you know, everything he does, he can do well. That's it for power. He can run. Very good defensively. And the other sort of contenders for the leadoff spot, Harrison Bader and Tommy Edman. Edman's a switch hitter, but he really hasn't been successful from both sides of the plate. And so the Cardinals right now are putting Bader and Edman down in the bottom third of the order, which, you know, hopefully will get guys on base so that when Carlson comes up in the after the first time up, he'll actually have a chance to drive in runs, because he is capable of doing that.
Yeah.
Carlson's, you know, definitely capable of hitting lower in the order, but they need that consistent on base percentage type person leading off. So it looks like it's going to be Carlson.
Hmm. Brian, other than the Brewers, I mean, it looks like it's the Brewers or the Cardinals, I think, in some order. I would put the Brewers ahead of them slightly, with Flaherty being out for a while and that 1-2 punch that the Brewers have at the top of their rotation right now. Of the Pirates, the Cubs, and the Reds, is there a team that will surprise in a positive way out of those three you enter the year with? You know, not, I mean, sure, they all think hope springs eternal, right? But really, realistically, not much hope, I don't think, for either three. Of the three, who do you think has a chance?
Well, I think the Cubs, you know, had some very interesting players that were kind of off the scrap heap and off the radar. Frank Schwindel, Rafael Ortega in the outfield, Patrick Wisdom at third base. Some young players who performed pretty well. And, you know, maybe those guys can come around. I think the pitching is still shaky in Chicago, as it's been for a long time. But of those three teams, and the Reds, you know, it's just disappointing to see the Reds sell off their good core of you know, nucleus of players, and it's disappointing as a baseball fan to see. And the Pirates, you know, continue to have one of the best farm systems in baseball, but the guys aren't really ready on the high scale yet, and you know, they're going to probably be in the cellar again when the season's over.
Really like this bullpen. It was interesting. I saw a quote from Marmol a little bit back, though. This is not old school thinking. This is not Tony La Russa where you got one ninth inning guy. Gallegos was excellent at the end of last season. He's going to be the closer most of the time, but how do you anticipate bullpen usage is going to be, and certainly at that back spot, talking a lot of the fantasy guys out there, myself included.
Yeah, we were having a debate about that on the Cardinal Nation message board the other day, and there are a lot of folks who are used to the Tony La Russa traditional situation where your closer comes in to pitch the ninth no matter what. Mm-hmm. But what Oliver Marmol said is, hey, if I'm in a situation in the seventh inning, I got the bases loaded and the number three man's up, I'm going to bring in my best arm for that situation. I'm not going to hold him in reserve and risk losing the game. So, you know, you could see the back end of the pen guys, certainly Gallegos, Hennessy Cabrera from the left side, you know, come into the game earlier. And Jordan Hicks, we're kind of waiting to see how he's going to be used, whether he'll be used as a longer reliever or at the back end. But the Cardinals do have some weapons, but it looks like it's going to be less of the traditional approach and more about the matchups and the game situations in terms of how the bullpen is used.
They won 90 games last year, Brian. Can they do that again this year?
I do. I think so. And again, you know, the division's weaker, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs,
I agree.
You know, the Cubs are rebuilding. The Reds are... The Reds are rebuilding. The Pirates still are rebuilding. But I think you're right. I think those head-to-head games against the Brewers are going to say a lot about whether that Milwaukee pitching is going to be able to handle the Cardinals' offense or vice versa.
Brian, last thing for you. I mean, it sure looks as though, I don't want to say a foregone conclusion, but, man, the Dodgers from how do you go? Look at that lineup, for crying out loud. It's not fair. Who is the second-best team in the National League?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, the San Diego Padres have made some tremendous moves. They continue to add pitching. Of course, they've lost Fernando Tatis, their big bat, but they've got a young prospect up at shortstop that looks like he's going to do very well. I really like those two teams in the West, the Dodgers and the Padres. And this year might be the year the Padres, last year, of course, it was the Giants that were kind of the surprise. I think this year the Padres will give the Dodgers a good run for their money.
In the East, Brian, is it as wide open or is it wide open? I mean, the Marlins and the Nationals, I think, are probably going to scuff again this year. Is it truly a three-team race, Phillies, Braves, Mets?
You know, I think the Marlins are an up-and-coming team.
I do, too.
They made some good moves. Yeah. I think the Washington Nationals, you know, it's really disappointing. Again, another team that, you know, was in the World Series not long ago. And, you know, they've just sort of dismantled their core. They still have Soto. They still have a few players. But I saw them a lot in spring training. And, you know, it just, you know, and of course they've lost Max as well. They're just not going to be in the mix of things. So I think the Nationals could end up being the last place team. The Mets are the Mets. They, you know, volatile. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they'll finally put it together for 1 year. But the Phillies have made some great additions on offense. And I like him as sort of a, I wouldn't say a dark horse, but they're kind of my favorite to take the East this year.
Interesting. Miami and the Cardinals, do they still share the complex of Jupiter?
Yes, they do.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Good stuff. Brian, thank you. We'll talk to you throughout the season. We appreciate you coming on to give us kind of a little scene setter for Cardinal baseball this coming summer. Thank you, Brian Walton. Appreciate it.
Talk to you again soon.
Yes, you will. Thank you, Brian Walton, the CardinalNation.com, as we begin our look around MLB with some of the regional teams. The Twins tomorrow, are we going to pull that off?
Twins tomorrow. We'll get also the Cubs and White Sox, as he mentioned earlier, with Cappy. We still got to hit the Royals. The Brewers, a cursory glance. Of the regionals.
I think they're going to run away and hide.
I think so, too. Health, I guess, is the one concern.
I guess, yeah.
But if Yelich even becomes adequate, not the MVP that we saw 3 years ago, but just becomes okay.
Mm-hmm.
If Keston Hira finally figures it out. I mean, these are huge question marks. And even without those guys, they ran away with the division last year.
And that 1-2 at the top of the rotation. I mean, Woodruff and Burns. I guess it's Burns is one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Woodruff, two. And then you bring the lefty Hader out of the bullpen. And good night now. Drive home safely.
And Hauser and the rest of that. I like the rest of that staff. Peralta solid.
Yep.
It's hard to come up short of injury with a realistic thing. And the numbers are showing that right now.
What are the Cardinals to win the World Series at DraftKings? Do you know off the top of your head? Let me see if I can look real fast.
Yeah, they have to be. I'm going to take a guess here that the Cardinals are 30
to 1. Not as fast as you. Give me a second.
All right.
Give me a second. Let the old man get this here. Let me flaunt my...
Mr. Technology over there.
I can't see the app. That's my problem.
Where's your glasses? What's going on over there?
I can't see with them or without them. All right. Dodgers are 475, plus 475.
You get plus money. That's a positive, I guess.
You know what, Trent?
I'm with you.
This might be the best. This might be the highest you're going to get on this team.
They're going to have a streak. They have a streak every year where they look terrible for 2 weeks.
But you remember that last year? It didn't do anything to the odds.
No, you're right. Yes, because we were waiting.
Right.
Are we going to drop this thing? Can I get a 5-1, please? Nope, not going to get it. So
this might be the time to jump on them.
Plus 475. Is it going to be better for the Dodgers? Because if they get out and they get off to a 10-2 start, I think it's just going to get tighter and tighter.
And their win total was, what did you say yesterday?
98.5.
98.5.
That's what it was at Bet Rivers. That's where I fired at that one. 98.5. I don't think, certainly, the Giants are going to be as good as they were a year ago. Remember, Dodgers didn't even win that division last year.
No, the Giants did by a game.
And I think you're going to see a step back from them. Padres will be better than the tire fire that they were a year ago and the infighting that they had. And Jace Tingler just could not figure it out with that young group. And now they have a real manager, which will go a long way for the Padres. But can anybody push them? Probably not.
I don't think so either. Regular season wins.
Did you find the cards?
No. I'm struggling to see this.
I got it here. All right. Blue Jays, the second choice, plus 450. St. Louis Cardinals, to win the World Series, they are 30-1 at DraftKings right now.
Here's a prop at DraftKings. Is there a team that wins 103 games, 103.5? So that's the number.
Okay.
Does anybody win, go over that? 103.
103,
what
yes.
The Dodgers do.
The Dodgers do.
It did last year. They don't have the Giants to contend with this year, I don't think.
If the Pirates and the Reds and the Cubs are all awful, and the Cardinals are just okay.
And the Natties are going to be, they're going to be blah. The Rockies are terrible. The Snakes are awful.
But couldn't you say the Brewers could do it? If three teams in your division are awful, the Cubs, the Pirates, and Reds are all bad, could they get to 103? Maybe.
Remember, they don't play each other as much anymore as
That's
they
true.
Used to.
Good call.
Maybe. We'll come back. I'll wrap up hour number one. Do you think you can win the Masters? I do. That was Tiger Woods. A two-word answer at his press conference that just took place. He's playing. We will take our time out. Miller and Condon back to wrap up the first hour of the program. We're going to talk more Kansas Jayhawks in hour number two with our buddy Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports. And then Ryan Fagan will go around Major League Baseball with Ryan Fagan. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
I'll buy the club today.
Final couple of minutes. How about this for a starting lineup, a batting order? Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Will Smith, Chris Taylor, 7, Cody Bellinger, 8, and then Gavin Lux. I mean, good luck.
Gavin Lux was a top prospect, too.
He wasn't, and he can't see the field. He couldn't see the field until they traded Pollock last week. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I hope it's not as easy as this, that somebody's going to jump up.
98.5. Usually with those high numbers, it makes sense to go under.
Yeah. There's no way that they're going to lose that many, or not win 100 games.
It feels very, very difficult. So playing around during the break on DraftKings.
This is fantastic.
There are a multitude of different things. We just talked about this with golf. Same thing here with Major League Baseball, including for each team. Every Major League Baseball team, you can bet over under what their longest win streak is going to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, first thing that jumped out at the top of the page were the Cubs. The Cubs currently over-under is 5.5. So, do you think they'll have a 6-game winning streak or more? You would take
the
over.
No prop? What's the no price?
Plus 165. This is heavily juiced. Yes. So, under. So, they don't have a 6-game winning streak this year.
Yeah.
Plus 165?
With that rotation?
It's winking at me.
It's winking to me, too.
How about the Brewers, the class of the division? 7.5, their number. If you take the over, you get plus money, plus 105, the under.
Do they have any Pirates-Reds back-to-back series?
Right. You got to look at the schedule, go a little bit deeper there. Speaking of those Pirates, over-under also 5.5. Minus 175, though, on the under portion of that one. The other thing that I loved, and I just fired at this one, is they have either exact in each division, who finishes first, second, in the order that you want, or trifecta. So I did the division I followed the closest, the American League Central.
So let me guess how you did it.
Yep.
Well, obviously you've got Chicago on top.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, it comes down to Detroit or Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess you put, I would have done Twins Tigers. You probably did Tigers Twins.
I did Tigers Twins. That is plus 850 right now.
That's a huge price.
I like the Tigers. I think the Twins have improved.
Uh-huh.
And the White Sox are going to run away. 1-2-3 plus 850 and boy, can you just imagine it comes down to that final weekend and need the Tigers to win their series in order to get that one?
I've got one I want to ask you on the other side because you probably won't be able to find it as quickly. But I want to do Dodgers and then either the Giants, Padres, or Padres, Giants. Because the Snakes and the Rockies stink. It's a one-team race, but right. The race is for second money. We'll do that on the other side. Get back at about 11:15 with Heartland College Sports, Matt Postens, and then Ryan Fagan on baseball. We are through hour number one. Hour two coming up next. Miller and Condon are here on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.